Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So the real question, of course, that we're all wondering is, will the bill pass? What's going on? And Fani Willis is out, disqualified from the case in Georgia. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Do we have our guest, Sean? I don't know if we have our guest yet. We do. Wonderful. Let me welcome to the program our buddy, our friend, the one and only, the official economist of the show, Dr. EJ Antoni. What's up, my man?
Rich, great to be back. Thank you for having me again.
Well, always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. I appreciate it. You're everywhere these days. So, you know, it's good. It's good you make time for us still. You haven't forgotten about your friends. I like that.
Never.
What's the latest you're hearing coming out of Washington regarding this new spending bill that they're talking about? I see Representative Ana Paulina Luna speaking on it now. So if I get distracted, you know why.
Well, I'm not going to say I blame you, but whatever the case, you know, look, it certainly stands better odds of passing than if we rewind the clock just 24 hours and we look at what the last bill was doing just after 6 p.m. So you know, we'll have to just wait and see. I mean, anybody who tries to tell you, Rich, that they know what's going to happen or they know if the bill's going to get through or not, I'm sorry, but they're just lying. Only God knows, right? Literally and figuratively. So we just got to wait and see. Unfortunately, you know, we are in a really tough spot right now where the Dems are doing everything they can to hand Trump another ticking time bomb regarding this economy. And so they're trying to make life as difficult as possible. And the only way they're going to do anything other than that is if this bill is loaded down with tons of pork barrel spending. So unfortunately, that's the situation we're in right now. And both sides are just trying to figure out, you know, how much ground are they willing to give?
Help me understand this whole thing about the debt ceiling. So Trump puts out a statement and says, we're not going to have a vote on the debt ceiling till 2027, which normally I would say that's ridiculous, except for I'm optimistic about DOGE. But help us understand the importance of the debt ceiling and all of that.
Well, the importance of the debt ceiling is that it's one of the few checks, even though it's not a very strong check, it's still one of the few checks on runaway government spending. And, you know, we have had plenty of fights where Republicans were able to use the debt ceiling as a way to try to roll back some spending increases. In other words, they would compromise with the big spenders, typically on the left, who would say, all right, we want more spending. And the Republicans would counter with, all right, we'll increase the debt limit so you can spend more, but only if you reduce the size of these spending increases. So that has been the typical fight over the years. Now, what the Democrats did in the last go around with the debt ceiling ongoing negotiations. This was back when there wasn't actually much negotiating going on because they had control of Congress. They effectively suspended the debt ceiling, but the way the law was written, the debt ceiling takes effect again on January 1st, except it doesn't just take effect at a new elevated level. It takes effect at whatever the level is that particular day. In other words, the next administration is going to automatically get handed, again, a ticking time bomb where the debt ceiling is instantly in effect. The government can't borrow any more money. And now the incoming Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is going to be stuck having to immediately resort to extraordinary measures in order to not increase the debt ceiling, but to try to keep the government funded. And people don't realize, I think, Rich, what terrible shape Treasury markets are in right now. You know, the Fed just cut interest rates for the third time in a row. And right. Every time they cut interest rates, the yields on Treasuries went up, not down. In other words, there is more stress, there is more pressure in the market, not less. And so if you're going to increase that stress and that pressure even more with this artificially dated debt ceiling, if you will, you know, that's really, really problematic. I'm not saying they should get rid of the debt ceiling. I'm not saying we want blanket spending increases or anything like that. I just want people to appreciate how precarious the situation is right now.
It's strange, right? Because you have Elizabeth Warren tweeting out right now and saying, I agree with President Trump that we should get rid of the Congress should terminate the debt limit and never again govern by hostage taking. You've got one of the most conservative members of Congress, Chip Roy, saying he disagrees. And now Trump is coming after Chip Roy. This is a very strange night right now. Yeah. So Chip Roy just tweets out the following. He says the old bill had $110 billion in deficit spending unpaid for, zero increase in the national credit card. New bill has $110 billion in deficit spending unpaid for, $4 trillion in debt ceiling increase with zero in structural reform for cuts. It took me 1.5 hours to read the bill. I will vote no. To that, Trump is now threatening to have a primary against him in Texas. So this is a strange night.
Politics makes strange bedfellows. And, you know, look here, there are different reasons for why you want to increase or not increase the debt ceiling. And you're seeing it play out on both sides. So you have some Democrats like Elizabeth Warren who are saying, you know what, let's just get rid of the debt ceiling and get rid of it forever, because those folks don't want any limitations on their spending. And then you have other Democrats who are saying, oh, absolutely not. We can't raise the debt ceiling. That would be unresponsible. And somehow that hasn't been a problem for the last, you know, 4 years, but whatever. And again, they're doing because they want to hurt Trump. Then you have some guys like Chip Roy, who, you know, I believe their best of intentions. I really think that they want to limit spending. They want to limit the debt increase. They want to limit future inflation. So I get it. They still want to keep that debt limit in place. And then you have some other Republicans who are, I think, trying to face the financial reality right now that we do, at least in the short run, need some kind of temporary increase in the debt ceiling. Now, again, I'm not saying a blanket increase where we suspend the debt ceiling another 2 years. I'm not saying that's the way to go. But I think the best path forward here is probably going to be a combination where you at least temporarily increase that debt ceiling to get us through the next few months or the next year, because there's a lot of white water ahead, while at the same time instituting those structural reforms that people like Chip Roy are asking for and that organizations like DOGE have been promising.
Now, E.J. Antoni, Dr. E.J. Antoni's with me, economist for the Heritage Foundation. Help me understand then and make sense of this for me, if you could. So Trump put out a statement on Truth Social endorsing this new bill, and I'm just going to read you what he wrote. He said, the United States will cut hundreds of billions of dollars in spending next year through reconciliation. That's the first part of this. The second is success in Washington. Speaker Mike Johnson and the House have come to a very good deal for the American people. The newly agreed to American Relief Act of 2024 will keep the government open, fund our great farmers and others, and provide relief for those severely impacted by the devastating hurricanes. A very important piece vital to the Make America First to the America First agenda was added as well. The date of the very unnecessary debt ceiling will be pushed out 2 years to January 30th, 2027. Now we can make America great again very quickly, which is what people gave us a mandate to accomplish. So as I understand this, his point is, look, do this. I'll cut spending. We're going to cut spending through DOGE. So take a leap of faith here in me, because I've got Elon and Vivek, and you know they're charged to do this. Is that a fair interpretation, I think, of what he's saying here?
I think so, Richie. I think you're spot on here. And what I'm really, really hoping for is that the president has learned his lesson from the first go around. You know, he put a lot of faith in people like Paul Ryan, who effectively stabbed him in the back. You had all these rhinos who promised Trump tons and tons of spending cuts. They said, please, let us just get this last omnibus through, and then we're going to give you all the cuts you could ask for. And then again, they just stabbed him in the back. They turned around and delivered nothing for the following year and a half, and then they got clobbered in the midterm elections, and then they weren't even in control of Congress, so then all their promises were moot at that point. So here's hoping that Trump is surrounding himself with better people who will actually make good on their promises.
I guess you can understand why a guy like Chip Roy then is hesitant to take that leap of faith because of what you just said about all the broken promises in the past.
Right, exactly. And that's why I said, you know, there's really two camps, I think, right now on the Republican side, if you ignore the rhinos who are basically just Democrats anyway.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
you do have the guys like Chip Roy, who I think are acting in good faith. And, you know, they don't want any more runaway spending. They don't want the debt to continue to explode. I mean, look, we're already paying an annualized rate of $1.2 trillion on the debt right now. And that's going up. This is why I brought up the fact that Treasury yields keep marching higher as the interest on the debt, the interest rate, I should say, keeps going up. At the same time, the principal is going up. You're going to be paying more, much more, and it's going to severely eat into government revenue. So here's a fun little exercise for all the listeners, Rich. Everybody should take a look at their pay stub from last month, the month of November. See how much you paid in federal income taxes and realize that over 40% of that went just to pay interest on the debt. It didn't go for roads and bridges or schools and hospitals, right? It didn't go to fund the military. It didn't go to the VA. It didn't go to Social Security or Medicare, anything like that. It went just to interest. That is obscene, but the problem is getting much, much worse. It parallels the situation going on right now with the American consumer, who is drowning in credit card debt. And we have over $1 trillion. This is insane. Over $1 trillion in consumer credit card debt in this country. And American families are paying over $300 billion a year just in interest on that. Again, it really parallels the financial problems going on with the government right now. And just like we need to get the interest rate on credit cards down to help alleviate that, we need to get the yields down on treasuries.
Yeah, I mean, everything you're saying makes sense. And you always have a great way of making it understandable for laymen and people like me who don't understand math. So I appreciate that. I think another big part of the problem is that while all this is happening, you have these executive agencies who are making all these rules that cost more money. I'll give you an example of this, right? So you know how when you get in your car and you start it, if you don't put your seatbelt on, it does that annoying chime? You know that
oh,
annoying
yes, chime? The communist chimes, yes.
Right. I heard a comedian once who said a joke. He goes, I hope whoever invented that chime dies in a horrible car accident. I just thought that was so funny. It's terrible. But man, did I bust out laughing. I friggin' hate that chime. I hate it. Well, they just added a new rule. A new federal rule extends the seatbelt warning chimes to all car seats. Now, as Senator Mike Lee put it, requiring seatbelt warning chimes for all car seats is a significant change to existing law. My copy of the Constitution says only Congress can make or change federal law. Unelected bureaucrats get away with this, but only because Congress and the Supreme Court have let them. And then to that, my friend Kat Kamick, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, tweeted out and said, say it with me, Rains Act, Rains Act, Rains Act, drain the swamp, because The RAINS Act would essentially now take away the power of these federal agencies. Congress would rein them in. But as they're proposing all these kind of rules, I mean, these things have costs that consumers have to pay, right? I mean, all of these various little things that they wind up doing, whether it's fuel efficiency rules or it's seatbelt chimes, I mean, there's a cost to every rule they put out.
It's exactly right. And here's one of the ironies, Rich. All of these costs that make these cars more expensive end up making people less safe on the road. And the reason for that is because let's say I'm looking at buying a new car or a used car, right? And the new car just got $2,500 more expensive because of, you know, the latest airbag that got mandated or the backup camera that got mandated. Look, I'm not saying these things aren't good. They are. But, you know, if you're a family, look, prices are really high today. Everyone's budget is really strapped. If you're a family trying to afford a new car, you know, it's going to be painful to spend that extra $2,500 or more for these new safety devices. And so what you end up opting for is keeping your old car longer and just paying to have it repaired more frequently. Or you buy a used car, which again is obviously older than the new car, and you're going to, you know, still have that repaired more frequently, whatever the case may be. But it saves you that upfront expense of the new vehicle. And so you end up selling fewer new vehicles. It takes longer to turn over the fleet, as they say, get rid of old vehicles in existence, replace them with new ones. And so people are stuck with the older safety features for longer. Again, you end up making people less safe, not more safe. And actually, it's funny you mentioned this, because when I heard about this, Rich, the very first thing I thought of was the fact that I have a Great Dane. He always rides in the back seat, and he weighs as much as I do. And so he's going to sit there in a new car, and it's every time he sits there in the back seat, it's going to cause the chimes to go off, the communist chimes. And yeah. So I'm going to have to park the car. I'm going to have to climb back there and clip the seatbelt behind him just to make sure that the chimes don't go off. I mean, it's so incredibly stupid. And look, you mentioned the RAINS Act. I think that's a great idea. I really hope they can get that passed. But fortunately, now that the Chevron doctrine has been overturned in the landmark West Virginia case, West Virginia against EPA, you know, I'm really, really hopeful that basically through lawsuits, we're now going to be able to overturn a lot of these regulations and really rein in the regulators that way without the need to get a new piece of legislation through Congress and to get the the 60 votes, rather, that you need in the Senate.
Well said. Well said, my friend. I just one more thing I want to just ask you about real quick, since we're on the subject of cars and the EPA and fuel standards. In addition to that, what the EPA is doing right now is really messing with the automobile industry, because this new rule that says you have to have this balanced, mileage standard, so it forces automakers to have to make a certain amount of EVs, but nobody's buying them, so then they have to make less gas-powered cars. I mean, the EPA is literally now messing with the entire automobile industry, car dealerships, I mean, everything, by these new fuel efficiency standards. Am I correct on that?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I was actually I was down in Palm Beach a few weeks ago, and I was giving a talk on what the economic outlook is going to be like under Trump, you know, over the next couple of years, things that, you know, are going to be positive, things are going to be negative, et cetera. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, hey, how come you didn't talk about global warming and this, that, and the other, all these different environmental issues? And I said, well, what do you want me to do about those things? And he rattled off a bunch of ideas. And I said, okay, well, what's the cost-benefit analysis of that? In other words, it's going to be incredibly expensive to do all the things that you're asking, like completely electrifying our entire vehicle fleet and getting rid of all gas and diesel vehicles. But what is the benefit? How can you calculate that? Because every time someone comes up with one of these climate change models, the results are insanely different from what anyone else has come up with. And then you start digging through the models and you find out the reason for that is because no one actually has enough data to model global climate. And so the author ends up having to input so many assumptions that the results are worthless, because you've assumed too many factors to actually have a predictive model. This is why these folks have been telling us that first it was, you know, global cooling and it was going to be a new ice age in the 1990s, and then the polar ice caps were all going to be gone by the year 2000, right? Al Gore made all of his crazy predictions. They have been wrong time and time again because their models are worthless. And so you can't do a cost-benefit analysis, and you can't say that any of these rules that the EPA is imposing, whether it's in the automotive market like you're talking about or anywhere else, you can't say that any of these rules are worthwhile, because there's literally no way to do a cost-benefit analysis. You can't quantify any of it.
Dr. EJ Antoni, follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni. Don't accept any substitutes but the real deal himself. Thank you, my friend, for coming on and helping us understand all this stuff. To be continued, for sure. Thanks, Doc.
My pleasure, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, my dentist, as you know, is Dr. Mike Veneria. And I was there at his office last week, got my cleaning and my checkup, and he's the best. He really is. He is the best. Two offices, Cinnaminson, Woodbury, and he's been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants for 10 consecutive years. That's right. For 10 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been recognized as the master of dental implants for a reason. The reason is he does a fantastic job. Very complicated dental work. If you've been putting it off, stop putting it off. Go see Dr. Mike today for that perfect smile that you deserve. Here's something else, too. When you think about the dentist and you think about, all right, what do I expect there? You should know the level of care, the commitment to dental excellence, the staff, the music in the office. It's all great. It really is. It's why my entire family goes to him. Now, there's two offices for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge. This is coming to the end of the year. So if you have dental benefits, you don't want to just let them expire. They all reset on January 1st. Call Dr. Mike today and see if you can use those benefits before they expire. It's worth doing. It really is. Get that free implant consultation if you need a dental implant, and you deserve a beautiful smile. So 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VenariaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, Dr. Mike Veneria.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting remarks from the Speaker of the House, Johnson, and we'll see if those happen before we sign off the air at 7 o'clock tonight. Then it's Fox Across America with me, filling in for Jimmy Failus. So we'll talk about a lot of stuff that we talked about earlier, because it happened then, but you'll hear it now, soon, in the future. Anyway, we'll do that, but there is a little bit of a civil war breaking out right now, because Trump is going after Chip Roy, and other conservatives are turning around and saying, hey, we got to deal with this debt. So I don't know how that's going to play out, other than he's threatening to now go after Chip Roy like he went after Bob Good from Virginia, who was a stalwart conservative, a solid, solid conservative. So I don't know how this is all going to play out in the next few hours. I mean, I'm going to be monitoring this just like you will be. And, of course, the Democrats don't want this bill. You've got Jamie Raskin literally melting down over this and screaming and blaming Elon Musk and arguing that Elon Musk has now become the fourth branch of government. They slashed the 1,500-page bills down now to 116 pages. So that's where things kind of stand for the moment. And the debate's going on the floor of the House of Representatives right now, because spending bills have to originate in the House. So that's where we are. I don't have much news for you other than Texas Representative Chip Roy starts yelling at his Republican colleagues, shreds them for never having any ounce of self-respect. He said You've added to the debt since you were given the majority again on November 5th. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Yes, I think this bill is better than it was yesterday in certain respects, but to take this bill yesterday and congratulate yourself because it's shorter in pages but increases the debt by $5 trillion is asinine. I am absolutely sickened by a party that campaigns on fiscal responsibility and has the temerity to go forward to the American people and say, you think this is fiscally responsible. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, to that, just sharing with you the drama, President-elect Donald Trump put out the following statement, which I will share with you from his Truth Social. Chip Roy is just another ambitious guy with no talent. By the way, how's Bob Good doing? That's a reference to the congressman of Virginia, former congressman. I hope some talented challengers are getting ready in the great state of Texas to go after Chip in the primary. He won't have a chance. Then he put out another statement. The very unpopular congressman from Texas, Chip Roy, is getting in the way, as usual, of having yet another great Republican victory, all for the sake of some cheap publicity for himself. Republican obstructionists have to be done away with. The Democrats are using them, and we can't let that happen. Our country is far better off closing up for a period of time than it is agreeing to the things that the Democrats want to force upon us. Biden is president, and it's his obligation to properly lead. We're there to do the right thing, and we can't agree with what Biden and the Democrats are demanding. Weak and ineffective people like Chip have to be dismissed as being utterly unacknowledgeable as to the ways of politics and as to making America great again. Put America first and go for the victory, even if it means shutting the government down for a period of time. We had an overwhelming victory just 4 weeks ago, and we're not going to let the Democrats forget it so quickly. So it sounds to me like Trump's okay with the government shutdown then. It seems like, based on that. I don't know where all this goes from here. I don't know what to make of this. They're doing the vote to suspend the rules right now on the interim spending bill to pass it. There's already 6 no votes on the Republican side. So I don't, and there's 104 Democrats voting, 105 voting no. So I don't even know if they're going to have the votes to pass this because it's such a slim Republican majority as it is. This, of course, is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. If you have been putting off getting that complicated dental work done, do it now. Please reach out to him today by going to veneriadental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, 856-786-2020. Okay, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is speaking. Is it up yet on your end, Justin? I don't know if I'm ahead of you guys or not. About to cut to it now. All right, so we'll go in and we'll listen to the Speaker, Mike Johnson. We have to break at some point soon, but we'll take a listen for a few minutes at least.
The right thing here tonight, the American Relief Act of 2024 will provide temporary funding to get us into the first part of next year. We're excited about that because Republicans will have control of the White House and the Senate and the House, and we'll be able to make the key decisions about funding for the 2025 fiscal year. So this will allow us the opportunity to do that. In addition, we're going to take care of Americans who have suffered true devastating emergencies and disasters. We had, of course, a record hurricane season with Helene and Milton that did real damage across as many as 6 states. There's $100 billion to provide much-needed relief to those people, those Americans who have really been struggling and still are from those storms. And in addition to that, we have $10 billion of emergency aid to our farmers and ranchers. Many of the small farms in America are on the verge of collapse, primarily because of Bidenomics and inflation, the high cost of inputs and fertilizer and seed and everything that they need to keep those farms going. And they've had 3 lost years in a row, some of it because of drought, a lot of it because of the economics of it, and it doesn't make sense for lenders to provide them funding anymore. And so this is a stopgap measure to save those farms, to save food production in America, to ensure that we have that diversity in the marketplace, and our food supply is directly related to national security. So it's a very, very important thing for both parties to do to provide that aid. We also have a clean extension of the Farm Bill, a clean extension of health extenders that are necessary, and a couple of other details. Everything that I just told you was negotiated in a bipartisan fashion. Both parties agreed to these terms, and that's what's on the floor right now. The only change in this legislation is that we are going to push the debt limit to January 30th of 2027. We will push it beyond that or to that time point, and that will allow us to do the important work of governing in the new Congress. Why does that matter? Because we are committed to cutting hundreds of billions of dollars of wasteful spending out of the federal budget. That's what we're going to do. The DOGE effort with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, the commitments that President Trump made on the campaign trail will come to fruition when we get about that very important work for the American people. The government is too big, it does too many things, and it does very few things well. We're going to cut and limit the size and scope of the government and get it under control for the American people. We have a mandate to do so. President Trump received 77 million votes in the election. House Republicans, 74.7 million votes, the most in history. We know what we are to do. We're determined to do that. And even though this vote would push the debt limit to 2027, it in no way reflects any lack of enthusiasm on our part to get about those serious cuts for the American people. We have to have fiscal responsibility. It is a core principle of our party. So that's what the House Republicans are committed to, every single one of them. We will get together and do that work, and it begins in early January. I hope that this vote passes tonight. We will send it to the Senate. We will extend funding, and we'll come back, and we will have the America First agenda come in roaring in January for the American people. Thank you so much.
Okay. That's Speaker Mike Johnson right there. We'll see how it goes. The vote is underway right now. Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons. Listen, they want to help you with your home because protection and peace of mind are paramount for your home. Well, Emmons is the real deal. And they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off inflation relief discount. That's right. 10% off Anderson Windows, doors, siding, and of course, a new roof. Emmons even has a bathroom division, and they remodeled the bathroom in our old house. They did our roof in our old house, and we have a lifetime warranty transferable on that roof with the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. And in our new house, Emmons has already replaced some doors for us, skylights, and more to come. So trust the team at Emmons Roofing and Siding. They're great people. Matt and Stephanie would love to help you and help your family and make sure that your home looks great again. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Winter is here. It's only going to get colder. So if you have any issues with that roof, deal with it now. Have Emmons give you a free roof inspection. And remember, 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. emmonsroofing.com. Tell them I sent you. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So there are 31 Republican no votes so far on this. I don't know if it has the votes to pass. I'm just wondering. Well, let's see. The 147. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this thing's going to pass. It just looks like you have way more no votes than yay votes, and the time just ran out. So I, as far as I can tell, this bill just died, I think. I mean, look, this is the motion to suspend the rules and pass. And Congress does all these funky things with their bills. So, I'm assuming that this is the vote on the bill. If that's the case, or it's the vote to vote, whatever, either way, it just failed. 221 no to 158 yes. With 30 Republicans not voting and 19 Democrats not voting. So 48 not voting. Now, the clock is stopped, but they play games where they keep the voting going, even though the time is off. So I don't know. If you move over 28 Republican votes to the YACOM, you still don't have enough to pass it, I don't think. I mean, I'm the math guy, but I don't think that gets you the 218 you need, unless you bring over some of those Democrats. Chip Roy was just yelling on the House floor, as I mentioned, so now Trump's going after him. See, they needed 2/3 to pass this. Oh, really? Okay. They could bring it back and try to get a simple majority. All right. Thank you for that update, Justin. All right, this the particular version is dead, and certainly not going to be resolved before I get off the air in 5 minutes or so. But depending on how this goes, and I got to see the 33 Republicans who voted no, they may be hard nose, period. You heard Speaker Johnson there. I just was looking at a couple of tweets from some of the more conservative members of the House, and they're all basically saying that this bill is just as bad as the other bill, just shorter, but bad. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen right now. It's very obvious. Chaos erupts on the House floor as Democrats shout at Representative Ana Paulina Luna during her speech in support of the Trump-backed spending bill. She says, excuse me, I am not done talking. Give me the same respect you give the guys. The deal on the table will keep the government open, blah, 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 blah. Chip Roy going against it here. It's just a lot. So Trump seems to be open to a government shutdown, and that may be where we're headed here, which is okay with me. I mean, I'm fine with it. I have no problem with the government shutdown. I'm not one of those people that gets scared about this. The fear mongering around government shutdowns is nonsense. Nonsense. The essential services are all there. Workers get back pay, and you'll still be able to fly and see your family on Christmas, and the country will still be safe, and the aliens aren't going to invade us from UFOs. They'll still invade us over the southern border, but that doesn't change if the government's open or not. So I've never been one of those guys who's like, oh my God, you got to keep the government open. Now, initially, I thought Trump did not want a government shutdown because he didn't want to start his presidency with that, but now he seems open to the idea. So that may be where we're headed in all this. It doesn't seem like you're going to be able to get enough Republicans to go along with this debt ceiling extension and whatever debt's piled on top of that, because they've just been burned too many times in the past by the likes of Paul Ryan and the others. I just don't think the trust is there. I don't think you're going to get them over. So a government shutdown may be where this ends up. And since Trump has kind of okayed that on Truth Social, saying shut the government down, well, that kind of gives a green light then to the conservatives to shut the government down. I don't know why then he would go after Chip Roy, because if you're okay with shutting down the government, then I don't know what the point in going after Chip Roy is. He's like a stalwart ally and a defender and a true conservative. So I don't know if that helps really right now. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see where this goes from here. My guess at the moment would be probably a shutdown. But who knows? There's obviously going to be behind the scenes doing horse trading and probably going on all night. So I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow as well, I would imagine. Oh, and then the other big story, of course, is that Fani Willis. It seems like that. So the news cycle's so funny right now, right? I mean, it's Fani Willis. She's been disqualified in Georgia. It really doesn't even matter at this point because Trump's going to be president soon. But I'm just glad she was, because that conflict of interest with her gumata, Nathan Wade, and paying him $700,000 to do this case when the guy had no experience whatsoever. I mean, a disgrace. The whole thing was a disgrazia, a total disgrace. So good. I'm glad she got officially disqualified. That's a very, very good thing. And I wanted to mention this. I didn't have a chance, but Justine Bateman was on the Megyn Kelly podcast. Remember I told you how Justine Bateman, who was my childhood crush, the actress, she has been speaking out against cancel culture and the woke mob and the woke mindset and all this stuff. I mean, just doing great. I got to catch a snippet of the interview with her, and I don't have time to play it now, but maybe we'll play it on tomorrow's show. But just a solid interview with Megyn Kelly about this and talking about how the cancel culture mob mentality ended with Trump's victory. Kind of similar to what I said on Jimmy's show about Trump's victory was the end of woke, kind of the same thing. All right, look, tomorrow we're in Cape May. We're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m. It is our last show of the year, not only in Cape May, just last show of the year, period. So come out and join the fun. It's a Friday. You have nothing better to do. Trust me, there's no reason to work tomorrow. So take the day, take a half day, whatever, and come out and join us in Cape May. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. I'd love to see you there. And keep the conversation going on X @RichZeoli. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla and me guest hosting coming up shortly, but DuckDuckGo is going to protect your privacy. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to DuckDuckGo.com/1210 right now and sign up for a 30-day free trial of DuckDuckGo. This is a no-brainer. It's all about protecting your privacy in three important ways. The first is a secure VPN. So when I'm traveling, whether it's to New York or tomorrow to Cape May or I'm going to D.C., whatever it is, I make sure I have that VPN because my data is encrypted end-to-end. I don't want anyone seeing it, not even my internet service provider. Number two, personal information removal. I don't want anybody knowing what I'm looking at online. It's none of their business. And three, identity theft restoration if, God forbid, your identity is ever stolen. Those are three incredibly important factors you need, and DuckDuckGo will provide for you with Privacy Pro. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today by going to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up for a 30-day free trial. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain because it's $10 a month after that. $10 a month for that kind of peace of mind? You can't beat it. Sign up now. 30-day free trial ends soon. Don't miss out. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.